And again, a good morning to Angie and Jess from our team, Pam in Florida, Elizabeth in Washington, Marlene in Tennessee, Mike Quarter in Kentucky, Joel Hunt in Nebraska, Tony in Arkansas, Donna in Kansas, Pastor Mathis in Virginia, Deborah, Betty, and Dale, Deborah in Illinois, Betty in North Dakota, and Dale in Minnesota send their regrets. They are traveling this morning and were not able to join us, but we should hear from a couple others. But again, we appreciate you taking the time, and Leah really wanted to be here, but she's traveling to Maine to meet with members of the Legislative Prayer Caucus, so she'll have a great report next time. And we wanted to make sure to have the call just, again, to go over some of the state director details, get more feedback from you all so we can move forward on that as soon as possible. If you all agree that this is a priority for you, then it will be a priority for us. Let's go ahead and open in prayer. Mike, would you open us in prayer this morning, please?
Yes. Father God, we just bless your name. We thank you, Lord God, for being on the throne, for being our Father, for being a loving Father, and for caring for us, for going before us in the details concerning this ministry, as well as behind us and protecting us in all kinds of ways. We thank you for giving us wisdom and direction and knowledge just straight from your throne room. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all of those on this line, for the faithfulness that you've allowed us just to participate with you in this work. We ask God for wisdom as we proceed on going to maybe meeting together and any of the agenda items that may come up today. Thank you, Father God, for blessing our nation, giving us a way to be instruments in it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mike, and welcome to those who are joining us. Good morning, Mark in Alabama, Abby in Pennsylvania, Pastor McIntosh from Connecticut. We look forward to hearing from all of you a little bit later. There was just a few things that we wanted to go over this morning. And for those that are just joining, Leah unfortunately cannot be on this morning. She's traveling to Maine to meet with members of the Legislative Prayer Caucus there. But she wanted to be here and looks forward to connecting with everybody next time. Just a couple of updates, and then again, we want to make sure that everybody has an opportunity to share. That really is what gives, I think, that inspires us all the most, is when everybody has a chance to share what's happening in your state, gives opportunities for feedback and questions and encouragement. So we want to make sure we give plenty of time for that. A couple of things we wanted to share. One, we always try to highlight again what the CPC members are doing, the members of the Congressional Prayer Caucus, because it's easy to forget that they're, why all this started. And it was members of Congress that started praying together that said, we have to be frontline defenders of faith in our nation's capital, and we need others to join us, which is, again, why the foundation started and why all of the state prayer caucuses are formed and functioning. But they are still going strong in Congress. There's still nearly 100 members that are part of the Congressional Prayer Caucus. They're still praying in room 219, standing room only, according to Congressman Mark Walker, who's the co-chair on the House side. Recently, I'm sure most of you or all of you have heard about Pastor Andrew Brunson, who is a pastor who's currently on trial in Turkey. He was imprisoned in October of 2016, and last month he was indicted on bogus charges related to terrorism and espionage and faces up to 35 years in prison. Recently, Senator Tillis joined Ambassador Brownback to go to the trial in Turkey. We know that there was not a good outcome, but he came back and mobilized 65 other senators to sign a letter and to send that letter to the president of Turkey to demand the release of Pastor Brunson. Mm. Congressman Walker, who I just mentioned is the co-chair of the Congressional Prayer Caucus, is also circulating a letter to the members of the House to send as well to encourage that. So, again, these guys are very much engaged. They're doing what they can on every level, and especially as it relates to this incredible tragedy in Turkey. They're praying and they're also taking action. So just a point of encouragement and an update on some of the efforts of the Congressional Prayer Caucus since the last time we talked. Something exciting I want to talk about also is the State Director Retreat. We thank you all for your feedback. We wanted to make sure that we hear from all of you to make sure this is something that is a priority. We had several reach out to us asking you know, to if we could find a time for everyone to come together. So we, as we took steps, we just, again, want to make sure that this is something that is a priority for everyone. And it seemed like everybody does feel like this is something that would be important and good to try to accomplish before the end of the year. We gave a couple, several different dates, and it looks like September 19 through 21 is the number one date, with October 11 through 13 a close second. So before we pull the trigger on this, we wanted to make sure that we give everybody an opportunity to provide any more feedback, thoughts, comments, concerns regarding, again, location, lodging, cost, things like that, and also just any other final thoughts or questions before we make the final decision. Is everybody good with September 19 through 21? I know some of you could not do the date, but again, I just wanted to this looks like the number one date that most everybody can attend. So we're just going to pull the trigger on that. Unless we have any feedback today that indicates that we should not. So I'm going to go ahead and just give an opportunity for people to give comments.
Hey, Summer, can you hear me? This is Pastor Randy.
Yes. I'm sorry, is that Pastor Mathis in Virginia?
Pastor Mathis, yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, I barely can hear you. Is there?
I'm out on a horse farm, so I'll talk loud. Was
okay.
That a Thursday, Friday, Saturday?
Pastor, if you're talking, unfortunately we cannot hear you.
Okay, I'll figure it out. I'll get it.
Hey, Summer.
Yes.
Summer. He asked if
yes,
those dates are a Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I could hear him if you want to clarify.
Oh. Okay. It's actually.
Yeah, can you hear me? Now? Can you hear me better?
There we go.
Okay. I'm
yes.
On a horse farm in a little town, so it's kind of hard. Is that a Thursday, Friday, Saturday? Those dates.
It's actually a Wednesday, Thursday. Let me say that again. That is, I want to say it's a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, but
that's the one you're doing because there's something special that weekend. Is that what that was?
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. That was just when we asked for feedback on the days that even worked best for people. Those seemed like the weekdays were better than weekends.
Yeah, sure. Okay. All right. Just clarifying.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
It's a great idea.
Good.
In Virginia makes it even a greater idea since I'm in Virginia. I'm being selfish. I thought it was a
figured
kid
you'd
Lake
like
Anna,
that.
And we all knew where Lake
Anna
was. A lady in another state said, and where's Lake Anna? I thought it was a cute question because, you know, it's a great, by the way, if it happens to be there, it's a wonderful place for conferences. I've been there before and it's beautiful. I think it'd be an excellent option.
Great. Thank you for that feedback. Anyone?
Summer, I'm sorry, I may have phased out on you for a second. Where did you say it would be located? The date is fine.
It will be two beautiful homes on Lake Anna in Virginia. It's technically Mineral, Virginia. It's in between Richmond and Washington, D.C. It's about, I think it's like an hour and a half outside of D.C., maybe two
right.
hours. But it's a beautiful lake. Two beautiful homes
right.
on a beautiful lake.
Great. Right.
Okay, and I know I sent an email with a lot of details, so most of you are up to date on all that. Again, we just want to make sure that everybody had an opportunity to give any last-minute feedback if you wanted to.
Summer, I do have a question. This is Donna in Kansas. Will we all need to rent cars, or how do we get there from the airport?
Yeah, we've talked about some of the different transportation options, and it looks like it will require some rental cars, or we may be able to work out, you know, people meeting and carpooling as much as possible. But at this point, including our team, you know, we could potentially work with those in different areas, coming from different areas to try to carpool. But as of now, we would not be able to provide transportation outside of trying to collaborate.
Okay.
Hey, Hey, Summer, this is Randy again. I wouldn't mind, since I'm in Virginia, I wouldn't mind if there's some coordination of meeting. I couldn't do one later, but we get two or three at a similar time. I wouldn't mind using my car and going to the airport. I don't know if it'd be Reagan or Dulles, your two choices, and you know, helping with transportation. So keep me in the loop on that, okay?
Okay, and the airports would most likely be Reagan or Richmond. I would
think. Reagan or Richmond? Well,
possibly.
Richmond's really easy because that's where I am.
Yeah. Well, thank you for making that offer. That would be very helpful.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
All right. Anyone else? I'm giving a minute for people to unmute. Okay. Well, if there's any other thoughts, questions, comments, feel free to reach out afterwards. But as of now, it looks like we'll go ahead and pull the trigger on September 19 through 21. And, again, we'll have more opportunities in the future. We're also, you know, of course, planning on summits and so forth. So this would just be something to get us together this year. So
Sounds good. Thank you
all again for your feedback. Good. And then a couple other things I wanted to mention. As most of you know, we work closely with several national organizations and are doing our best to collaborate for greater impact. This week, the CPCF had a meeting with some of the team from Intercessors for America. They've been around for a long time. They have a huge reach. And they've approached us and said, we want to work with y'all to increase prayer on important issues and also prayer for the leaders that we're affiliated with. So we talked through several different ideas, and one of the ways that two things that would pertain to you all is, one, we're looking at giving them the names of the PC chairs to promote prayer for them specifically, and then also they're willing to promote any specific prayer initiative that you all may be working on. And, for instance, Debbie in Texas did an excellent job in creating what's called the Texas Prayer Shield. If you go to TexasPrayerCaucus.com, you can see what she's done there. And essentially it's giving prayer groups or individuals an opportunity to adopt a lawmaker. And then she has somebody on her team that's helping to facilitate the fulfillment of that by either assigning somebody, if it's the group option, or giving the other, you know, the individual, if they need help identifying who their representative is, then they will do that. But also they create a bookmark and send them a bookmark with the person's picture, information. So that's just a really great way, obviously, to get people praying. And Washington did a great job as well in doing a Washington prayer shield. So if any of you all are interested in doing a prayer shield type of initiative on your prayer, on your landing page, or a different type of initiative, please let us know. Please let Jess and I know. Jess is going to be primarily the one that would be helping with the back end on our side, things with the database as well as the webpage. But we would love to help with that. And then, again, give this information to IFA. They're willing to put this out there and drive people to the Texas Prayer Caucus page or whatever page to get people to sign up to pray for your legislators. So grateful for that opportunity. And If you have any questions about that, again, if you need any assistance with that, then please reach out to Jess and I. We'll be happy to help with that. I thought that was very encouraging, and we're continuing to build partnerships and help however we can to give back as well. Another important topic, Project Blitz, as you all know, is still in process. This is the opportunity that we have to mobilize around legislation in the various states, whether it be a pro-religious freedom bill or measure or a bill that undermines religious freedom. We're now tracking over 300 bills, and we found that there has been a lot of success this year. We also found that there's some pretty alarming bills, and I, again, wanted to bring to everybody's attention this. There's a bill in California, if you have not heard of it already. It's a bill that could potentially ban the Bible. I mentioned it on the last call. I mentioned the conversion therapy ban bills that have passed in New Jersey, California, Washington, and possibly in Maryland. The governor's determining whether he'll sign the bill in Maryland. But that bill basically says that licensed counselors cannot counsel a minor who's struggling with their sexuality according to a biblical worldview. This California bill, AB 2943, expands that to pastors and religious leaders And it's a if you have a chance to read the bill, you will be shocked as to the language that's in it. It actually states a minister, religious leader, licensed counselor, best-selling author would be prohibited from addressing the issue of unwanted same-sex attraction or gender identity confusion if a monetary exchange takes place. A church or religious organization could not hold a conference on sexual purity if the conference encourages those in attention to avoid homosexual behavior. Bookstores could not sell any recently published books challenging gender identity ideology and advocating that these beliefs should be looked through a biblical perspective. A pastor or conference speaker could not encourage attendees to prevail over same-sex desires or feelings that they were born the wrong sex. Again, it's absolute government overreach. It's a trampling of First Amendment rights, of free speech, of freedom of religion. And so we're doing what we can to mobilize on this bill. It's asked to mobilize people to take a stand against this bill. And what's shocking is that it's actually passed the General Assembly, and it's moved to the Senate. So anything that you all can do to get the word out about this bill, we have conversion therapy ban bill talking points. We have also a gentleman who's willing to – he's part of the National Task Force for Therapy Equality, and he's been a major player in defeating 20 or 30 of these conversion therapy bills in the past 5 years. He's willing to go we're coordinating with him to go to California. But anything that you can do to get the word out to pastors, leaders, Christians in California would be extremely helpful. The more that we can help with other states, obviously, it will help to stop it from coming to the state. So just, again, a shocker there. But the good news is we're also finding that there's some God We Trust bills that are passing. Alabama, Arizona, Florida, Tennessee, possibly Minnesota have passed bills that are encouraging the display of our national motto in schools and or the public square, and they are getting a lot of the support. Citizens are very encouraged about this and wanting to help in any way. Arkansas passed a measure, Act 9/11, last year, and they've been working diligently to fulfill the requirements of that bill. And they've actually put over 9,000 posters in classrooms. Senator Rapert, the co-chair of the Legislative Prayer Caucus there in Arkansas, has an American History and Heritage Foundation that has created a template for states and has discounts on printing and frames. So, Tony, if you would expound on that for us, that would be great. But I wanted to encourage everybody that these types of bills are passing. People are very encouraged about them, and there's options, which we hope to have more in the days ahead as well, on how to actually fulfill the requirements in the bill so that we can actually get these posters up in the classroom. But Tony's been working hard on the ground in Arkansas to get these posters up. And I was hoping, Tony, you could give some insight on what you all are doing, and then also maybe just give a quick update on Arkansas as a whole, including the ceremony that's taking place today.
Okay. I'm trying to get in the car. We're getting ready to have a news conference with Senator Rapert on the Ten Commandments. We're putting that monument back up today after it was knocked down. Yeah, it's very exciting. And we debated because of the controversy with the Satanic Temple and the ACLU. I'm trying to round up my dog who wants to go with me. but what's very exciting about the In God We Trust posters program is that it has generated some excitement like we really haven't seen in a long time. So, you know, we've always been trying to rally people to the cause and have a good time and participate and all those things. And people that have never wanted to participate in anything before have jumped up and gone, you know, here's my check. How can I write a big check to get all this taken care of for the whole county? I mean, hundreds and thousands of dollars. So it's very exciting, the folks that have stepped up to participate in this program. We have Senator Rapert did negotiate a program with Hobby Lobby that we haven't implemented yet, that if ordered in lots of 10,000, they can print the posters, put the posters in the frames, and ship them directly to the nearest Hobby Lobby, which is tremendous. That's not only time-saving, but it reduces the cost to less than $2 for the whole thing, not to mention the labor. So we can now have a couple of folks here in Arkansas that have taken it upon themselves. They were donors to my other organization, An American Speaks, to go ahead and finish up the rest of Arkansas, which will just another 20,000 that will take care of the rest of the classrooms in Arkansas. So we'll be done, and then on to the rest of the country.
So you are, can you give like the details of how you're making that happen? You all have raised money through private donors, and then you're contacting the schools and just sending them the posters. Is that right?
There's a couple of different approaches based on the relationship with the superintendent or the school board there. So, for example, in some of the school districts, they're excited. We go directly to the superintendent. We say, you know, here's a copy of the Act 911, and we explain in a friendly way that if these are donated to the school, that they shall put these in every classroom. And they go ahead and do it. Some folks have said, you know what, it's so close to the end of the school year. Why don't you just bring them, and over the break, we'll just have the maintenance folks put them all up in the classroom. And then when they come back, boom, they're already up. So that's kind of one way to skirt controversy and also just not to disrupt the classrooms during working hours. But, yes, private individuals, this has been advertised pretty widely through Senator Rapert's contacts. The media has picked it up in Arkansas on a local basis, and then the national media picked it up and interviewed Representative Jim Dotson, who sponsored the bill. So through a combination of American History and Heritage and their contacts and relationships, and then People Plus, like my organization, An American Speaks, we picked it up and we started talking to groups about it. So it's just a real grassroots get the word out movement, but it's really marshaled a lot of excitement within the community, especially the religious community, to get this done.
This is great, Tony. Thank you. And again, just if we could remember Tony and Senator Rapert in prayer. Last year, they put up the Ten Commandments Monument on the state capitol according to a Ten Commandments Monument Display Act that was passed in 2015, I believe it was. They put up the Ten Commandments. A gentleman drove across state lines and plowed right into it. So this is the reinstallation of the Ten Commandments on the state capitol with new reinforcements so that it can't be vandalized or in any way. But they're literally on their way now, so we can pray for protection over them. And, again, just a successful ceremony, that would be great at the end of the call. But thank you, Tony, for your input. The other thing I want to mention is we have a In God We Trust Ambassadors packet that we created some years back that has the HRS 13, which is it has the original law that indicating that our national motto is In God We Trust, but it also has HRS 13, which Congressman Forbes helped to see passed in the House, 396-9, reaffirming our national motto, In God We Trust, and encouraging the public display. So it's a packet that has the original law as our national motto, In God We Trust is our national motto, HRS 13. It has also legal precedent that basically reiterates that this is something that's over and over been taken through the courts and proven that this is constitutional. There's a number of other resources in that packet that would be helpful when presenting these to anyone who may be interested. So whether you have a bill or not, you still potentially could be, whether you have a state bill or not, you still potentially could be encouraging schools to post or display our national motto in the classroom. So All that to say, we'll have more to come on that, but thank you, Tony, for all of your diligence there. And again, this is just an easy way to get God back in school, but I know we're all excited about that. Good. Well, Pastor McIntosh in Connecticut, I know you've had a busy week. You've been working diligently to get pull together all the details around a legislative prayer breakfast, a bipartisan prayer breakfast with members of the legislature and, again, pastors in Connecticut. You were also at a Come Up Here, I think it was called, event with pastors. Could you just give us an update on some of the movement there in Connecticut?
Yes, I will, and thank you for the opportunity. And I want to come out of the gate saying thank you so much for the prayers. The breakfast was very successful. It was a lot of work and a bit of challenge, but we met those challenges. And it was, very well attended. It was busy because we're getting close to the end of session. So many of the legislators sort of came in and went out, some stayed, but it was very, very successful. And also prior to the breakfast, a few weeks before the breakfast, we had a mobilization luncheon for the pastors, encouraging them to invite their legislators, their senator and their representatives. And that went over very well. We've been doing that for the last couple of years, and it's been going all over very well. And in addition to that, leading up to the breakfast, we would send thank you notes and to the legislators, just letting them know that we appreciate what you do, we appreciate the service that you give, and that we're here praying for you and for your families, and we just want you to know that we're here. So as to not just approach them when we're having an event, we want them to know that we are around throughout the year, not just even when they're in session, but when they're out of session, that we're praying for them and their families. So getting back to the breakfast, it was very, very successful. It was very well attended. And now the focus is on, although they're going to be ending session in a few weeks, is to establish an ongoing place for them to pray within their constituents when they're in session. And that we're working on. It's getting better, but it's still not exactly where we would like for it to be. But in the breakfast, too, the legislators are participating more and more. They're feeling comfortable in sharing their encounters and their exposure and their relationship with Jesus. And on this past breakfast that we had a day or so ago, several of the legislators said that they depend on Holy Spirit to give them direction and discernment in passing bills and things that they support. And that is very, very encouraging. Just to hear them speak about Holy Ghost was just phenomenal. And not just speak of him, but to say that he is a vital part of their lives. So it was just very, very encouraging. So we're continuing on. And also, too, prior to the prayer breakfast, we had on a pastoral perspective is Day Apart. And that takes place, this is over and above the legislative piece, but the Day Apart with the pastors, because the pastors has a vital role in this government piece. And with the Day Apart, which happens twice a year, sometimes quarterly, we come together just to pray for each other, to encourage each other, and to break bread together. And to enjoy each other's company. So it was just all of this together, and it was very encouraging, very empowering, and we're just looking forward to continuing on. And also, too, we're preparing for, as we all know, the National Day of Prayer, and we will have a gathering at the Capitol for that as well. So that's just some of the things. I don't know that I've covered everything, but I try not to take up too much time.
No, thank you, Pastor. That is a great report. I just think all this is so important and encouraging, especially considering that the phrase separation of church and state came from a letter that from the Danbury Baptist, which is the district that Senator McLaughlin, who's the co-chair of the prayer caucus, represents.
Yes.
That very letter that has caused so much confusion amongst the church is actually, again, the district of our legislative prayer caucus chairman, who is actively connecting church and state. So I'm just excited about that.
Yeah.
And again, thank you for all that's happening there. It is really encouraging to hear how pastors are coming together, and again, how pastors and legislators are coming together and encouraging one another.
If I may say one more thing, thank you so much. There's also preparation being made for David's Tent to be at the Capitol. I think this is happening throughout the nation, but they are preparing to do a David's Tent at the Capitol of Connecticut. So I'm going to be getting more details on that on tomorrow. As a matter of fact, tomorrow we meet for our monthly prayer, legislative prayer, and I'll find out more about that.
Yes, thank you, Pastor. We are, you know, allies, if you will, with all these various organizations. We are heavily promoting the National Day of Prayer, and again, Awaken the Dawn concept. And I know many of you are working with them in your respective states, which is great. We're absolutely friends and allies with the leadership there. So excited to hear all of the ways in which everybody's converging. And there's never any pressure to participate in various initiatives, but we are encouraged when we hear that you all are. So
thank you.
Who would like to go next? Thank you.
Summer, if I could go next, this is Donna. I'm sorry, I've got a doctor's appointment. My report's really short. Is that okay?
Yes, please.
Okay. All right. Well, in Kansas, we still have the Adoption Protection Act. Our legislators have been on break for 2 weeks. They come back today, and it is going to be presented to protect faith-based adoption agencies so that they do not have to have adoptions go to anybody that conflicts with their sincerely held beliefs. Obviously, they believe that children are better off in a home with a mother and a father. And this also affects the faith-based organizations that work with the foster care. So it's very important. It's been very controversial, and we're just really asking for prayer that this will pass in Kansas. So all right, then the other thing is, of course, National Day of Prayer is next week. Legislative Prayer Caucus will be leading. A lot of our people who are in the caucus will be praying. Everybody that does pray is a Christian legislator here in Kansas. So the legislative leader, Representative Randy Powell, and I are talking about having a dinner or a breakfast. We haven't really come up with a date, but we feel like we need to do a relaunch or something. I'm not sure if we're going to wait till the beginning of next year or whatever, but that's just kind of wraps it up for Kansas right now, except that I will just say that the situation with I always call him Governor Brownback anyway. I don't know if you all have heard, but Turkey really wants Fethullah Gulen. And so they're trying to hold out for Pastor Brunson's release because they want the United States to to send Fethullah Gulen back to Turkey. And he is the man who has all of these charter schools across the nation that teach Islam. The Americans have fallen for they drank the Kool-Aid, and the teachers are from Turkey. The people that construct the buildings are from Turkey. There were 146 when we defeated the encroachment of Sharia law in Kansas by passing American law for American courts. And however, like there's 46 in Texas, 46 of these schools in Texas. I just wanted you to have a little bit more information so you could pray strategically. obviously, I don't think the United States is going to send Fethullah Gulen back, although we sure don't like him here. But anyway, he is a person who tried to overthrow the government of Turkey from America, Fethullah Gulen, and I'm sure you probably all know about him. So that's a strategic prayer request.
I actually did not know that. So I did not know that he was part of the negotiation process, and I didn't know his efforts here.
It's out by the Daily Call put that out, yeah.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for, again, all of your efforts there, Donna. And we are also closely watching the Faith-Based Adoption Act and appreciate you communicating so much with your network about this and getting people, not only your personal network, but the network through the foundation, the Kansas Legislative Prayer Congress Network, to get people to take action
right.
on that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Bless you.
Thank you.
Summer, this is Pam.
Yes, hi, Pam. Go ahead.
Hey, yeah, I'd like to just give a quick update. I'm going to have to jump off. I apologize. I had to hang up for a second. The governor's office was calling and had to answer that real fast. But anyway, I appreciate everybody's prayers for Florida, obviously, with so many things that have been going on here that haven't been good. But legislatively, we're out of session, and we did pass, I think everybody knows, the In God We Trust with our state motto and national motto that will be put up in schools. And our former chairman is running for re-election. I mean, not re-election, but in a different seat, which is great. I'm hoping Mike Hill, he's one I've been praying over. So anyway, we are very busy with National Day of Prayer at the Capitol, and the emphasis will be obviously praying on over the schools and students and an awakening. And we're staying in contact with our chair and everyone while they're all out of session. And I have really encouraged them to stay connected with each other. And they're working on that as well and praying for one another as all of them are up for reelection. So obviously my heart's with the election as well, just praying over that. So I appreciate the prayers for our state and continued healing of our state as well with the Parkland shooting. And like I said, we've got kids praying at the National Day of Prayer, and that's a huge emphasis, praying that there'll be another Jesus movement, because that's the answer. It isn't all the other stuff that everybody's trying to say. So anyway, that's kind of a quick update, but our Legislative Prayer Caucus is going strong.
Thank you, Pam. And I thought the way that they passed In God We Trust was very strategic. It passed as a bill in the House, but then on the Senate side, they tucked it in the education package. So people thought that it died, but then lo and behold, it came out as passed. And so appreciate all of your prayer. And also, I know you're just right in the middle of all that. So appreciate you doing that. And I agree, we definitely need to be praying over the elections. I won't go into all the details here, but as we know, there's a very well-funded, well-orchestrated effort to take back the House and the State Houses, or excuse me, Congress and the State Houses. So prayer for the elections is very important. Thank you so much, Pam.
Thank you, guys. And I am praying for you. I am going to have to jump off, though, so I apologize. But I'm praying
for
you guys.
Thank you for your time.
All right, thanks. Thank Bye-bye.
Okay, anyone else want to share? Mark in Alabama, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I know you've been diligent there to continue cultivating prayer in the Capitol, working with the legislators. There's been some legislative successes there in Alabama. Do you mind giving a quick update?
Yeah, we are out of session now. We're in a election year. So every senator, every congressman, governor, Supreme Court justice, all the way down to a local level, are all up for election. Our primaries are June 5th, so most everybody that's in the caucus is, facing either challenge within their own party or somebody in the general election, the opposite party for them. So they're real focused on that side. We did pass In God We Trust, signed by the governor. On the National Day of Prayer, there's going to be a public ceremonial signing of that by the governor at the Capitol. So that will be made very public, which will be a great thing in the state of Alabama on that side. We also passed Ten Commandments. That goes for a constitutional State Alabama, so that will come up in our general election for amendment to our Constitution, and it allows for Ten Commandments to be placed on public buildings, government buildings, other buildings, but in it, it has no provision for any challenges, any legal challenges coming against it being defended by the state. So it's going to be an interesting challenge for us when that comes up, because we also had an abortion amendment last year, and that was challenged immediately out of the gate on that side. So there's a good possibility that we will see that again, especially with everything that happened with Judge Moore when he was the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court and put the Ten Commandments in the Supreme Court. So we just have that expectation that that is coming right down the line. We do have some changeover. Just kind of pray for us. We have a number of people that are on the – a number of our congressmen and senators that are on the leadership team of the Prayer Caucus in Alabama. Some of those are not running. Again, they're retiring, so we're going to have some positions literally open up on the leadership team in the House and the Senate that are going to need to be filled on that side. But we had an exciting year. We our legislators got us rooms at the State House to pray in, so we prayed 3 days a week. The way our legislature meets pretty much till it really gets tight is that they meet on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and Monday and Friday are kind of travel days. Friday's really overflow if things get real busy. But we were able to pray Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday in the State House in different committee rooms that we were assigned to be able to pray. So that was a big advancement for us this year on that side. So we just hope to expand on that as we go forward. Thank you, Summer.
Thank you, Mark. You've done a great job of staying the course there, continuing to build the relationships, working with you know, various networks in the state, and tracking bills. I mean, just really have done a great job there. So thank you for your persistence.
Thank you.
You're paying off. There's some really good fruit this year. Thank you. All right. I know many of you, many others have done, you all have really been staying the course and are doing a great job. I want to make sure that everybody that wants to share has a chance to share. Is there, who else would like to go?
This is Abby from Pennsylvania. Our state, can you hear me okay?
Yes, thank you, Abby. Go ahead.
Okay. We have our primaries May 15th, so that's what everyone's focus is on. And there's been a lot of corruption in our own state government that's getting exposed, but it's also exposing things that have been wrong, even happening at the voting machines and the redistricting. And so, you know, Rep. Saccone, who actually passed the In God We Trust bill in our House, but then it hasn't passed in the Senate. It's just sitting in the Senate. So it's half passed in our state, but for his run for Congress, he just came up against the Democratic agenda, trying to stop his In God We Trust leadership. And so he has impounded the voting machines, but just exposed the fact that when people were voting, that they, if they would vote straight ticket, it would go towards the Democrats. And so he's had those voting machines impounded. We don't have a result yet. Also, we have a legislator, Representative Dush, who is trying to, I think I mentioned on Tuesday, trying to impeach judges that were put into office to try to also shift our state from Republican to Democrat, and we're considered a shift state for the nation on that. We also have right now a Democratic governor who's aligned with some of the George Soros activity and in a team with him and with Obama. And so our legislators are afraid to do legislation because the governor just vetoes their legislation, even if they rallied in the House or Senate. We had our governor's debate last night, and it's right now it's a brutal debate against each other. It seems like the issues are overshadowed by the things that they're exposing about the system and about each other. And so I guess people are kind of fed up with hearing all of this brutality in the debate. But what is happening is truth is being exposed, and hopefully it will shift our state into the godly example that it's supposed to be. We did have our Commonwealth Prayer Breakfast, and we had a speaker from Ireland come and speak about about bringing religious freedom and bringing unity between our nations. And that was really interesting timing because we had just had this British lord who came to Pennsylvania to make a bridge and to apologize to Pennsylvania for the reasons that William Penn had to leave England he came to establish our state as a state for religious freedom, as a haven for religious freedom for people of all faiths. And so our House of Representatives and our Senate, actually both, he spoke in both of those, and they were both really deeply moved by this bridge and this connection and the call of Pennsylvania to be a holy example to the nations. And so that's just rallied a lot of our Christian legislative leadership to do more about bringing this about in this present day. And I guess another interesting thing is the Swiss UN that was founded as the League of Nations, the beginning of the UN, that was also founded with materials from William Penn in this trying to establish peace and unity of all the nations. And now the UN prayer leader, trying to bring God's purposes in the nations from the Swiss UN is also connected in and wanting to do a conference with ambassadors and legislators of the nations that have believers and are spreading this new holy moral civil agenda into the nation. And so it's this religious liberty is for the world, and so our legislature is getting excited about that connection. And they actually brought out the archives of the documents that were signed by King Charles for William Penn to get Pennsylvania. We saw that with the King's seal, and then we saw the document of Penn establishing the first religious liberty charter, which was the original charter of Pennsylvania. And then this British lord said, I've got to carry on with this in the British Parliament. And so I pray that what we're doing here in our states will have a global impact.
Thank you, Abby. You definitely stay busy and working and connecting, and I know you have a strong prayer network there. You also are taking videos of the legislators around the concepts of religious freedom. You've done videos of the tour mm-hmm. that you give. That if anybody has an opportunity to go to Pennsylvania and take a tour of the Capitol with Abby, it's a fantastic tour. And again, it goes into the depths of the original concept of religious freedom that Penn had a vision of. And so, again, thank you, Abby, for your continued efforts and to impact Pennsylvania, the nation, and the nations. Great. Mike in Kentucky, could you give us an update on your...
Sure.
demurring a little bit today because we've not got a lot of activity going on. Our session ended several weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, with a bang. The Kentucky Educational Association, which is quite liberal, capitalized on the fact that this was the year we passed a pension bill that impacted them. Unfortunately, the previous Democratic governors didn't get the credit for underfunding or not funding at all this pension bill, so all the blame went to our present Republican governor for actually doing what the responsible thing was, actually passing a funding bill that would make it work. So gave them something, gave them pretty much everything they want, but they're still upset. So we're in an election year, and it'll be exciting to see what happens in November. I still feel we'll maintain control, but there's some question about that. The Prayer Caucus did extremely well this year, and we were pleased to see them finish with strong prayer times and fellowship together and just growing camaraderie. It is an off-season time for us right now, just looking at things to do. I would like to get my hands on one of those In God We Trust framed posters. I don't know what that looks like. Maybe a picture would be great. Just something to take to some folks. We were talking with – we have a law that allows this in our schools. We just have – every time we talk to the representatives and senators about it, they say, well, it all is about funding. It's always about funding. This is not a year to talk about funding of anything, and because we passed a huge budget and a huge pension bill and all kinds of tax reforms and stuff. So that would be interesting to have in our hands and try to promote that. Had a good meeting yesterday, I mentioned to you, Summer, with the lieutenant governor. We had set up a meeting with her and a lady who has for 8 years taught a class that actually brings spiritual values into sixth graders. And she had worked off of research from Columbia University that and others that have really pinpointed brain development on sixth graders and how critical that is to development. The real bottom line is she's teaching biblical values without using biblical terms, and has 70 volunteers, does this in every one school. Every child that's a sixth grader goes through this for 2 semesters. It was quite an interesting introduction to watch her and be with the lieutenant governor yesterday. I could see Janine Hampton, our lieutenant governor, getting pretty animated. She's got a heart for schools and has actually initiated programs of her own, entrepreneurial classes and things that she has gotten significant funding for. And I could see Carol hoping for something like that with the governor's support. So perhaps it'll go that direction, we're hoping. And this was fascinating what could be done. I ran into this lady based on looking for someone to partner just to let us know what's happening with our biblical literacy bill, you know, we have passed. You know, where is it being taught? And Carol came to my attention. But she is teaching not Bible, but she's teaching the values, and it is working. This school is a model. It is interesting in the sense that they have higher academic results ever since this was instituted. It's marked. It's an actual metric in the lower issues of kids having problems, lower all kinds of issues, and it is so intriguing that 6 other schools have picked up on it, and they want it as well, and probably will start next year on it, and so she's looking to get more volunteers. So we're hoping to have – she would love to have this in every classroom, you know, across the state, but you can't say that values are not being taught. I was in the classroom. The kids are really getting it. It's interesting to see life, love, hope, liberty in positive ways being talked about. And respect, and you know, they've seen kids changed as a result. And kids that have gone through this program 8 years ago, 7 years ago, are just doing very, very well. So they've got some real stuff to prove it. That was an interesting time yesterday, but other than that, we're wrapping up for primaries and just encouraging people to vote. And pray.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you for connecting with Carol and making that meeting happen. It sounds like a very encouraging curriculum. And again, just for those that may not have heard or Kentucky did pass a bill that actually encourages, does it mandate or encourage that the Bible be taught as an elective in schools?
It actually allows it as an elective, and it was a bill that was really to establish guidelines. Did not need guidelines before. This is already being done in some Kentucky schools where they have elective classes for biblical literacy, which is probably the best way it could be done. I almost hate to see the government get it's good that they allow it, because that allows individuals to set the course, and could be bottom-up instead of top-down and not run by bureaucracy that might tweak it in the wrong direction. But they have classes in several of our districts that are being taught. I'd like to see it in more. Since that bill was passed, it would seem like that would encourage more of it, but I haven't gotten real strong evidence of that. But Kentucky is a state friendly to religion. It does have detractors. We had some bills that did not pass this year simply because they were overweighted by the pension and other bills. One, for example, was a bill that we had hoped to get passed, was a right to conscience bill that would strengthen our religious liberty bills already in force. That would allow, of course, business owners to choose to have some selection in what they could serve someone that would be outside of their conscience. Unlike the California bill, almost just the opposite. So we're hoping for a good next year to get some of these other bills passed.
Thank you, Mike. And I realize we're already up against the hour. I want to give everybody an opportunity to ask questions to anything that maybe I mentioned or anybody else mentioned, and then I want to make sure we close in prayer. I do apologize that not everybody had a chance to share today, but please keep them in mind for next time, and then also hopefully we'll have some time to share in person in September. But any questions, comments, and then I want to make sure that okay. Marlene, I don't like to be visible on the spot, but I was wondering if you would mind closing us in prayer and praying over some of the items that were discussed today, remembering Debbie in prayer, also the elections, if you wouldn't mind just closing us today.
Absolutely. Well, Father, Lord, first we just say thank you so much for the good report when we see and hear so many negative things across our nation right now. We want to stop and say thank you, Jesus, for the good reports that we've heard this morning. And we give you all honor and glory, and we ask that it would spread, that encouragement would build upon encouragement, especially for Debbie today, in each individual that shared those specific prayer requests, God, for these states on this call this morning. Father, I ask you for great favor for your righteous servants, even right now, God, in every state across America. Great favor for your righteous servants, those that are inside the gates of government, and those, God, who are state directors for the caucus, and all of the other people that you have at such a strategic time as this. We ask for favor. We ask for great wisdom. We ask for strength. Father, we ask that you would station a whole host of angels around them, their families, and even those righteous pieces of legislation right now, and that the wind of the Spirit would blow upon them, navigating them through the rough waters to full passage. Father, we declare that in the name of Jesus this morning. And for the elections in our state, for the elections at the national level, Father, we just open up the gates of government for righteous men and women to come in and to be seated, Father. We ask that you would grant them favor, that you would give them the financial means that they need, that you would especially give them favor with the citizens, God. But, Lord, we're believing and expectant for you, oh God, to continue to work in this huge election year in each one of our states and in our nation. And thank you for the Congressional Prayer Caucus. Bless Leah, Summer, every individual that has a part of this organization. We thank you for them, and we bless them today. Thank you for all you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Marlene. You all are an incredible group of people. We tell you often, but we every day we give thanks for you. Every day we pray for you. And again, we are just so grateful to be in this with you. I'll send a follow-up email with the audio and then also just more details around the State Director Retreat. But again, thank you all for taking the time to be on this morning. God bless you. Have a great day.